the Shark Dropper. I'm Kyle.
I'm Robert.
I'm John.
Okay, John. So what is this thing? What is it?
What thing?
What are these things?
These
weird things that you wanted to talk about.
These weird, strange happenings in these
Very
things.
Very strange.
Well, all these mass killings happening recently. Well, it's been pretty, it's not, pretty weird.
Back it up, John.
Not where we were leading you on that one.
Oh. Hold on.
Yeah?
Let me think about this.
Okay. We're talking about strange occurrences.
Things.
Strange things.
Oh, Bernie Sanders endorsing Hillary. That's pretty weird.
That is a pretty strange thing.
Yeah.
We can talk about that if you want.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing that came out today with that one senator? He said, yeah, white people there's not enough recognition for them because they've done so much in Western civilization that.
Wait, who said this?
It's this some weird. This Senator Steve King in Iowa.
He's a white guy. Right?
He's a white dude. Yeah.
A white guy from Iowa.
He's like this whole old white guy thing's a little overblown. I think it's really white people have done everything up to this point, so they do deserve the credit. It's like
I totally agree. If it weren't for white people, where would we be today?
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said basically that.
Did you see that tweet? What was it, Paul Ryan or whatever?
Oh, that picture he took of like him and like a whole bunch of Capitol Hill interns.
Yeah, all the interns. They're all white people. Yeah. And it was just like one of the memes said, like, "Hey guys, this is a tweet like about people who are all for missionary sex and think mayonnaise is spicy." it was fucking awesome.
It's true. Oh, white people don't exclusively like missionary sex. I mean, come on, that's multicultural.
I don't know. I think it's like a funny stereotype, though. Yeah. I don't care for missionary sex.
Is mayonnaise spicy?
Ooh, it's so hot.
It's the spiciest. I put it on my tongue.
Spiciest of all the minutes. Ow!
Where's the milk?
Yeah, I don't know. As I didn't really find it too offensive. It was just a picture.
What? Oh, yeah, I don't care.
I'm like, I mean, I'm not white, obviously. I know, I hate to break it to you.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Then what are you doing in our Shark Dropper group, John?
This is a
whites only group.
I snuck in.
Oh, wait. What?
I snuck in.
That you're our diversity.
Wait, Robert.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yes.
Can we just backtrack a second here? You said this was a whites only group.
It's a great white group.
Oh, great whites.
Honestly, if it wasn't for me, it would be an all white group, right?
What if it was like a SeaWorld, like a SeaWorld exhibit where it's like sharks, but it's just like great whites only.
Yeah, great whites only. So only the most distinguished of white people can go in here.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
Yep.
Ben Frank.
There were some great distinguished white people.
Only senators.
Who are the great whites in history?
Let's think of great white people throughout history.
Okay.
You have Bono.
White.
You have Bono.
Bono.
You have Moby.
Yeah.
You have
Winston Churchill.
Abraham Lincoln. Winston Churchill.
Right.
FDR.
He was white, right?
Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Shakespeare.
What about John D. Rockefeller?
Okay. That's
according to some people, Jesus.
Most people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely white.
Yeah. Even though he was born and raised
white.
In the Middle
white,
East.
John.
Okay.
Come on.
White. Yeah.
Stop. Just stop.
Okay.
He's white.
I don't know what book you were reading.
Yeah, he was definitely white.
Did you read the Bible?
Yeah, he wouldn't have been like a Middle Eastern looking guy.
No. So. John, stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Yeah.
He's a white guy.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. White guy with a beard. Fucking... Yeah. All those pictures you've seen of him?
Listen, I've seen Passion of Christ.
Yeah.
That was totally a white guy.
Jim Caviezel. Yeah. that's exactly how he looked.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to believe otherwise.
Yeah.
Man, there are some just really great white people out there.
Yeah, how about...
Steven Spielberg.
Jack Lemmon.
He's white.
Yeah, James Cameron. Wait, did you
also
say Jack
white?
Black?
Jack Lemmon.
Also white.
Oh. John Lennon.
John Lennon.
God. There's just so many good white people.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Too much. Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah.
Scott Aukerman.
He's white.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul F. Tompkins. Yeah. Thomas Middleditch.
Jerry Seinfeld. He's white.
Michael Richards. White and racist.
Are we just naming people?
Oh, he's definitely white.
Rod Serling.
Now, how about some great black people?
I can only come up with Kobe Bryant. Can you think of any others, Kyle? I'm drawing a blank. Kobe Bryant.
Does Tiger Woods count?
Nah, he's mostly white.
Yeah, he is. He sounds white, I'm sure.
He's Tiger.
What about Obama? He's
okay.
He half counts.
Let's just do okay black people.
Well, he's half black, so I mean.
He's half black.
What are we doing here, guys?
Being really racist?
Yeah.
Jokingly racist. Obviously, there's a lot of Rosa Parks. She's one.
Oh, Harriet Tubman? Hey, Harriet Tubman's going to be in a $20 bill, so.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I know. She's moving on up. Hey, the Jeffersons.
The Jeffersons.
Okay, sorry. Sorry. Yeah. I got excited. Yeah. You said she's moving on up, and I thought
Weezy
about,
and George
Weezy.
Jefferson.
Yeah, Weezy. Yeah, Weezy.
Obviously. I was setting you up. Setting you up, and you knocked him down.
How about Florida from Good Times?
What about Flo Rida?
Oh, yeah.
He's a great black person.
This is just
honestly,
not going.
Honestly, no. This is going great because it shows just how many great black people, great white people there are. But, John, I'm very sorry. Not that many great Asian people.
Yeah.
Hmm? I mean,
Genghis Khan, man.
Let's go Asian people.
How many people did Genghis Khan rape? That's got to be like a record.
He's Mongolian. Yeah. He's not Asian.
Yeah. Mongolian. Oh, this is kind of awkward.
Hey, I always wondered this.
Yeah.
When you're Russian,
yeah,
are you Asian or like European?
You're Russian.
That's what. Yeah.
The
right?
Russians are just doing their own thing, man.
But they're part of Asia.
Yeah.
Russia's part of Asia.
Yeah.
So why aren't they considered Asian?
I guess they are.
Because they're not.
Honestly, they're mostly considered European most of the time.
Yeah, they are.
That's what I thought. Well, but they're not.
It's because like Moscow is like right there next to Europe in terms like geographically.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing is like the majority of Russia, like it's just like it's empty.
Yeah.
Right. Like no one lives in all of Russia.
Yeah, all the way from Serbia.
So I think like the majority of the population lives like in part of Russia that's closer to Europe.
It's the lower
that's
portion,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, it's a geographical thing, really.
It's just weird because like they're technically, I mean, like Russia goes all the way over, like it's like the whole top of that continent.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are they considered? Granted, like there's a lot of other countries in Asia that are considered just like the Middle East. They're not like really like, I mean, they're part of the continent Asia. But not, they're still considered the Middle East. So it's like, where's that line?
I don't know. That's a good question.
India? India is like.
India is considered part of Asia.
Yeah, India is Asia. Yeah, because like in the UK.
Well, technically they're.
Yeah.
But they're all technically Asia.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I just like when in the UK, like when they talk about Asian food, they're talking about Indian food.
Really?
Yeah. Most of the time.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I consider Asia to, or like Asian people to mostly be like on the right side of India. You know what I mean? Like when you start getting over to Cambodia, Laos, and
Thai.
Where do you think Oriental people are from?
Hawaii.
I love how you worded that. That's the racist term, right?
Yes, that's very, very, because Oriental refers to like a thing.
Oriental?
Yeah, people don't like saying Oriental.
Anymore. Well, because it refers it refers to like furniture or like lamps and stuff. Like it's a thing.
Yeah,
that's like a racist thing to say.
I don't know. I never viewed it as racist. So
I mean, crackers are a thing.
Sure.
And I eat them.
Brother,
and
what are we doing here, guys?
I
do think it's funny though. I do think it's funny though. If it wasn't for me, Shark Dropper would be. Exclusively white.
Exclusively white.
The way we really wanted it, John.
Yeah. Straight
the way
and white.
Yeah. I know someone who probably would prefer it that way.
Damn that affirmative action.
Yeah, we're not going to.
That's how you got in here.
Yeah.
Well.
Just kidding. No, listen. You know, our cast of like Doppel Avenue Hurt and End of All Hope and all of our fictional stuff is very diverse. We have at least one black person on each one of those.
Nice.
Yes.
Mine is paralyzed. There's no black people in that one.
Yeah.
But you're in it.
Actually,
so.
Robert, you can't say that. I mean, it's all your imagination.
Yeah, yeah. But in my imagination, everybody's white.
Well, that's your imagination. That somebody else may be imagining those people as black.
That's true. I'm saying like real cast members. We actually do have like you know, we got a lot of white people, but we got some black people. We got some Asian people.
We got to get some ethnic voices in there, man.
Hey, yeah, but I don't want to write ethnic voices. I think that makes it racist.
Yeah.
Just like you said, Kyle, let people imagine what color these people are.
What's up, where my bitches at?
Although, if your name's like David and Jen and Seth, I don't think they're imagining a lot of black people.
You never met a black guy named Seth?
I'm sure there's some out there. I'm just saying. You know, this group of people who goes camping in Paris.
Actually, you know what's funny? I've never met like a Reggie who wasn't black.
Yeah, most of the Reggies. Well,
yeah. All the Reggies I know, like they've all been black.
Shit.
That also goes for
I've never met like a white person named Reggie.
I think that also goes for Tabriqua. Yeah, that, I've never met.
Actually, I met like a my 7th grade history teacher. That was her name.
Yeah, really?
She was an old white lady.
Really?
Tabriqua Williams.
I know. Okay, how about that? I know a lot of Terrells. I don't know any white Terrells.
I mean, no, there's some definite names. But, like, I see what John's saying is Reggie could be, like, a white person name, too.
Yeah.
So
I've never met, like, a white Reggie, though. It's funny.
It's weird how many, like, Asian Johns I've met, though. Don't you find that weird?
Actually, I don't know.
Really?
I've never met, like, any other Asian guy's name.
I don't think that's weird because, like... Asian names like are sometimes like mispronounced in America, so they just say, "Ah, fucking, I'm Paul, I'm John,
or I'm John Paul,
I'm George, I'm Ringo, something like that."
Yeah, they're just the Beatles.
Just named after the Beatles.
Yeah.
Well, I think I mentioned before, but my parents actually named me after John Ritter, from because Three's Company was their favorite show.
And you're a spitting image.
Yeah,
you are. You look exactly like John Ritter.
No, they were just they thought John Ritter was like the funniest, most charming dude, and I'm just like, they just gave me a name John because they were just like huge fans of his. I'm like, oh,
I mean, John's cool. A solid name.
Yeah,
been around a long time.
Yeah,
he was since Jesus' days.
He's like an apostle, right? Or one of those guys.
Yeah, he's one of the apostles.
Yeah,
one of his favorite ones. Just want to point that out.
John, you realize that's not actually you that they're talking about in the Bible. Yeah.
I didn't say it was.
Like that's
I'm just saying that I'm a really great friend, guys.
You guys are the one that are making these assumptions here.
I'm just saying I could be a really good friend. I mean, Jesus was friends with John, so obviously you guys are lucky to know me.
Look, I'm just
that's
saying,
what you're saying.
When Jesus comes back,
I didn't need to say that, but yeah.
When Jesus comes back, he's going to be really happy that I'm around.
Who's going to want to hang out with? Is he going to want to hang out with Robert or Kyle? Or is he going to want to hang out with John? Okay, easy.
I think we all know the answer to that. So.
Are there any Kyles in the Bible?
Nope.
I'm sure.
What about Robert? Somewhere. There's got to be a Robert, right?
I don't know. Where's Robert come from? Robert's a biblical name, isn't it?
I don't know.
There's a Robert in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Robert Baratheon or whatever.
Yeah.
Baratheon?
I'm going to look it up.
I don't
now.
Know how you pronounce it.
He was he's a great character.
Well,
Game of Thrones is biblical, right? It's a book that's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. I thought you were going to be like bringing in some tie-ins or whatever.
No,
but
no.
Yeah. I think... Yeah. Who knows? Maybe in another 10,000 years, people will start following Game of Thrones, believing it's real.
There'll be like different religions based on different houses.
Like, Lannister.
I'm part of House Stark. Winter is coming.
Yeah, could you imagine if civilization was reset to zero and they found the George R.R. Martin novels? Like, that would be their religion.
That's what I wonder. Like,
but then, like, people, like, somewhere on the other side of the world, they found, like, the Star Wars, like, Blu-rays. They take that as gospel.
Holy war, baby. We got a holy war brewing.
Oh, man. So Jedi's versus the,
okay, say it's 10,000 years from now. You find a book that all of a sudden is going to be your religion. Which book are you picking?
Oh, man.
You can't pick Game of Thrones. We already talked about that.
Okay, so.
Lord of the Rings.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, hold on.
It's good. It's good.
Hold on. Does me finding this book mean that I am like the Messiah? Not the Messiah, but I'm like the... I'm going to be a pretty important person in this whole...
Yeah, you're going to walk around and kind of spread the word.
Yeah, Hunger Games.
That dude, I was actually thinking that.
I'm going to be the king.
I actually just watched The Running Man today with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I read that book, and it's very Hunger Games-ish. So I was thinking like The Running Man. Like...
Oh yeah, I could do that too. Or 1984 maybe. Yeah. Oh yeah,
1984.
1984. I'll go with that because
that would be a good one.
Yeah, because there was no hope in that book. That book didn't end on a on a
the alternate title about, to the Star Wars episode.
How about the Great Gatsby? Just oh man, we just try to recreate that. Was it like a 1920s?
Yeah, just 1920s party time.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be awesome. And then like everybody worships Gatsby as like their god.
Yeah.
And, this guy
and then they find
exist.
The movie, Leonardo DiCaprio.
I know mine. I Am Legend. I'm going to I Am Legend. You think that there's vampires everywhere. There's one guy named Robert.
Listen, that also takes place in the post-apocalypse. It's too on the nose.
No, it's not.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's... what, are you going to have people kill? These hypothetical vampires?
Hypothetical? They're real.
It's the same. It's You're already in the post-apocalypse. You don't need to read a book about another post-apocalypse.
No, I didn't say it was post-apocalypse. I just said we're restarting at 00, and you're finding a book.
And you're not moving that far by picking up another post-apocalyptic book. So.
Hey, the Bible's post-apocalyptic.
If you're going to go post-apocalyptic, go with, like, Mad Max. Oh, wait, no, that was never a book. I thought we were on movies. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert's like, everybody sit down. We're going to watch this.
Yeah. Because this is real.
Listen, it took me months to generate the power needed to charge this battery to play this movie.
I actually watched that recently, Fury Road.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Really good.
Did you, did the black and white version come out yet?
I don't think it's out yet.
Oh, okay.
It should be out soon, though.
Why? Like, it's beautiful the way it is.
I actually like how it is. I'm all for like filming in black and white sometimes. Like certain movies, I think it definitely helps them.
Fury Road was just beautiful. Like it was just gorgeous. But like I guess George Miller like originally intended the movie to be shot in black and white.
Yeah.
No, how can you do that?
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't though. I love the fire, the carnage. I love like how sepia tone it is. It's just very.
Oh, like the scenes that took place at night. Yeah. It was just like, wow.
Oh, that was cool.
Dude, the whole sandstorm thing, like, that was just, I love that, too. Like, the tornadoes in there and, like, how, like, bright orange it was.
I'm amazed. Well, I guess not really, but, like, it's amazing that movie got nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
It was, like, it was real weird the way it started out, but, I mean, you got over it after a while.
What's funny is that the story is just, like, so, so bare. Like, they're basically just going on a trip, and then at the end, they make a U-turn.
Yeah,
like we're going back.
Yeah, fuck it.
We're
going
back.
Fuck it.
I like that though. That you don't see that in movies too often. Like where they're just like trying to get away from a spot. And they're like, you know what? Let's head back.
Let's go back.
Yeah, it's just
it wasn't really that bad.
You know what? Let's just go back. Like, I don't want to make the rest of this trip.
I think the only other movie that did that was Back to the Future.
Nice, Robert. Yeah, very good.
I'm just saying.
I know I'm a year late on this, but like the my favorite part just to laugh at was that guitar player.
Oh yeah,
he's got to get
the
going. Flamethrowing
guitar,
that shit was great.
The best thing about that movie was just like so uninhibited in everything it did.
It's true.
Like it was just like, well, you know what? If we're gonna like have like a bunch of people chasing him, why not make one of them like a guitar player? But that guitar player, like, there's a guitar that shoots flames out of its neck.
But other than that, he serves no purpose. Like, even the flames that shoot out are just there for, like, ooh, cool. But, like, who's watching?
But I like that there's, like, a battle. There's, like, a battle on there, like, where Max is, like, jumping and, like, fighting around the guitar player. Like, that was kind of cool.
The, I forgot what part of the movie it was, but, like, when the guys, like, they start, like, those little poles, those long poles, and they start, like, just basically start jumping onto their truck. I'm just like, oh, this is so cool. Like,
dude, that whole, like, final chase. Like when they were trying to get back or whatever, the whole final chase was just awesome. Like the music was like really amped up. The everything was exploding.
Yeah,
it's on the edge of your seat the whole movie. Just about. Yeah.
Hey, wait, to go back to that Back to the Future joke. Did you see Michael J. Fox was playing guitar with who was it? Chris Martin.
Really?
From Coldplay, like they were playing Johnny B. Goode.
Oh,
well, cool.
I'll check that out. This?
I don't know. I saw it online today. I didn't even watch it. I just saw it, and I went to go back and watch it, and I didn't.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of 80s movies making a comeback, so I guess the Ghostbusters movie's getting pretty good reviews.
Yeah. I said that.
Have you seen it?
No.
Have you seen okay.
I might see it Wednesday, though.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing.
We'll see.
So, okay. The reports are in, and it's not like... It's not any sort of groundbreaking movie. It's just okay. You won't regret buying the ticket. But like, did we need to do this? Did we need to go through all this with Ghostbusters? Like, did it need to be done?
No, but you can say that about a lot of movies.
Yeah, but it's like is anybody going back and remaking Casablanca? Or
I think they will. Dude, they're remaking Ben-Hur again. I mean, Ben-Hur comes out this year. There's no way it's going to be that
good.
Why
do they remake good movies? It doesn't make sense.
I know. Remake the bad ones to make them better.
Like,
there's a reason why they don't do it. There's no, like, guarantee it's going to be good the second time around.
Like, one of the most agreed-upon best movies ever is Citizen Kane. And where's that remake? I mean, why aren't they doing that?
I think they should. I think they should do a Citizen Kane : Reloaded. And I think it should be just action-packed.
All female.
Just like, yeah.
Bullet time.
Bullet time. Just crazy explosions.
3D.
Yep. Oh, my God. Citizen Kane in 3D. That'd be so fucking awesome.
Orson Welles' gut is just like sticking out of you. Well, he wasn't fat in Citizen Kane.
Oh, God.
Like,
and he was still bigger.
You know what? The second one, you ready for this?
What?
Citizen Kane 2, Rosebud.
Yeah.
Just call it Rosebud. Then call Rosebud. The movie that.
: Citizen Kane 2.
Rosebud with a Vengeance.
I think that would be cool. I think a sequel, if they made a sequel to Citizen Kane or like remade it and made it like all action-y, I think that would be hilarious. Mm. Why don't they do that? They should start doing action movies based on old dramas like Casablanca.
Didn't someone make like a Hamlet 2?
That was a joke thing. Yeah, that was Matt Stone and Trey Parker, I think.
I thought that was like an actual movie.
It was.
Oh, okay.
Well, but it's not like an actual Hamlet 2. It was a guy who wanted to make Hamlet 2.
Oh, okay.
So it was a story about... What's that guy's name? I always forget his name. Steve
Hamlet?
Coogan.
Okay.
Yeah, Hamlet.
Yeah.
Steve Coogan was in it, and he just wanted to do another play that was Hamlet 2.
Steve Coogan's great.
Well, they're doing that kind of in literature with Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Like that.
That's true.
Like they've done that a couple times.
That was like a remake, right? Of like a zombie kind of.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, that's what Robert said.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah. It's just like Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. No. Then they came out with that. Like it's I mean, those didn't do that well.
Sure.
But who knows? Maybe a Citizen Kane 2 would.
But I mean, Ghostbusters, like from what I hear from Ghostbusters, or like I just like wasn't just one particular account, but like it was basically like. Oh, man, it was so awesome. So, like, there's this one part where they talk about the original movie, or they refer to the original, and then Dan Aykroyd's in a part, and then Bill Murray's there, and Sigourney Weaver's there, and, like, and then they do another reference to the first one, and at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, they reference the first movie.
Shit, man. Fuck. That actually sounds pretty good. I'm excited for it.
I don't know, like, maybe it just could be confirmation bias, but I've actually come across, like, a lot of negative reviews for the movie as well. Like, it's not, to me, it doesn't seem like it's mostly positive reviews. Like, it's definitely mixed at best.
No, it's definitely mixed. I think there's a slight...
Richard Roper gave a pretty, although Richard Roper's kind of an ass, like, a lot of times, but still, he gave a pretty negative review for Ghostbusters, and you have, like, a lot of the big YouTube personalities, like, who do movie reviews, like, they, for the most part, it seems to be negative.
I think the thing is like, it's not going to be like some kind of a nuanced movie. Like it's not going to be like the original Ghostbusters and that. I think the best analogy that I saw for the original Ghostbusters was that everybody wasn't in on the joke. I mean, it was you kind of saw the joke from the outside looking in on those four guys. Whereas in the new movie, you're in on the joke. It's just right in your face. And it's just a dumb like popcorn movie. And like those are cool and they're fun, like Jurassic World and all that. But that's not like the spirit of what Ghostbusters was.
Well, honestly, like my problem with it, and I know like some people might disagree with this, but I think like a lot of the newer movies coming out that are either reboots or sequels that are coming out like way later, like Jurassic World, like Independence Day, like what was the one that we were like talking about for a while? Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Mad Max is actually not in this. I think all of those movies are almost like just playing it too safe. And I think Ghostbusters is in the sense that, no, they're doing all female lead, which isn't necessarily safe. But the storyline, I mean, look at it. It's three white women Ghostbusters with a black woman Ghostbuster. The black woman Ghostbuster comes in later.
No.
She comes in later, just like Ernie Hudson did later. Mm. She knows the streets and everything like that. She's not really part of the initial group.
Why does she know the streets?
Because she's a black woman.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like Ernie Hudson. Like she says, I know the streets. I can help you through this stuff. Like, it's just like Ernie Hudson. They have a male receptionist who's kind of like a dorky guy, which is like how Ghostbusters was with the other.
No, Janine was not dorky.
She wasn't but she was like the one female. Like, all they did was just switch everything, and they play in it safe, and it seems like it's just going to be like the same type of story. And I think Star Wars did the same thing. I think Jurassic World played it safe. I think I didn't see Independence Day 2, but I heard that that kind of played it safe. Yeah. Like, they didn't kill off any characters.
You know what didn't play it safe?
Mad Max.
Fury Road.
That's true.
Yeah.
Actually, that's true, though.
You blew my mind a little bit there, because you're right. I mean, that's all they're doing. And it's producing pretty okay. They're, you know, okay movies.
They're good. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like people I don't know. I don't want to say filmmakers, like, because there's, like, a lot of people involved in the decision-making process. But, like, I feel like movies these days, let me use the general term, are just afraid to piss the audiences off.
They are, because, like, they're spending so much money and they don't want to lose.
Like, okay, The Revenant, right? Mm. Like, for me personally, it was like it was a decent movie, right? Whatever. But, like, I appreciate the fact that it was just like, it was like a kind of an out there movie.
Right.
You know, I appreciate the fact that it was just like, it kind of did, it was unafraid to do its own thing. You know, it was just like, and also his, the director's previous movie, Birdman.
Birdman, yeah.
That was pretty out there too.
Yeah.
So,
I actually, like, that's why I liked Mad Max. Mad Max was a 2-hour chase scene, but it actually worked. It actually had, you know how Ghostbusters is just throwing, here's four women, like, look, we're like pro-feminism and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's great. But, like, Mad Max was like a very feminist movie too, where it's showing like all these strong ass women.
Oh, Charlize Theron's character?
Yeah, it's strong as women, but it's not like throwing it down your throat.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some women in there that were weak that she had to take care of, but she was also a badass woman. Like, and then not only that, they meet a bunch of badass women at the end that help them fight. It's just like, that didn't play it safe to me. Like, it just, it went like all over the place. And I thought that was good. There's like a lot of movies that like don't play it safe. Granted, I don't think they're all like big budget movies. I think now big budget movies have to play it safe because they're so worried that if it doesn't work, they're going to lose so much revenue.
Well, like, as much as I loved them, like the Marvel movies, dude, have a tendency to play it safe.
Yeah, they follow the same kind of formula.
Like, I love Civil War, but, like, you know, when, like, Rhodey, like, got shot as this guy, like,
still alive.
You knew he wasn't going to die. Come on.
But, I mean, at least the storytelling aspects of it are somewhat decent and new. They're kind of blazing a trail there. But, yeah, at the same time, you know, it's like, okay, Robert Downey Jr., he's going to be fine. Like, we know. Like, nothing, like, nobody's in danger here.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, it's, honestly, the only thing I can think of that, like, that really, really isn't afraid of killing off major characters is Game of Thrones.
Well, TV, I think, is actually going the opposite. Like, they're almost trying to do, like, crazier stuff.
Yeah.
With, like, more graphic, more killing off of main characters. I mean, like shows like Daredevil and Jessica Jones are a lot darker. You know,
they're better than the Marvel movies.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But they're going in a different route and they're trying different things and they're finding out they work.
Right.
And then you have Game of Thrones, which kills off a main character like every other episode. But, so it's like,
but it's not randomly. It's like for good intentions.
I have a problem with that too. Like, I have a problem with that formulaic approach of just like, okay, well, we got to have the gratuitous sex scene here, and then someone's got to die horribly here.
I agree
in
with
a
that.
Sense, like, because it's like, why do I need to see this right now? Like, it's like, it doesn't add to the plot. You're just showing it to put tits and ass out there.
Yeah,
to get
but at the same time, it's
it.
Like, are you really complaining about it? Like, you're not complaining about it.
I'm gonna say that. Like,
what are you gonna fast forward to that part? No.
It's uncomfortable. It's a little uncomfortable. Yeah, it's kind of like I'm not like oh yeah,
like, oh yeah.
I watch porn.
Yeah, bang your sister.
Do it.
That's what I'm saying. Is with Game of Thrones or like other certain just very dark TV shows, they kill off main characters and it's fine. But after a while, it does get like repetitive to a sense where like. Okay, I get it. You're killing off people that no one's safe. That's cool. But after like 6 seasons of it, I can kind of see like it kind of wearing its welcome where it's like, okay, now who's going to die? Like, you don't get invested into too many characters. Game of Thrones does have some characters you can get invested into, though, obviously, because they go through
the
series.
Off.
But a lot of them do get killed off. And it's kind of like, oh, now we have to introduce another character and you're supposed to get... you know.
I don't know. I think they're doing like a really good job of kind of balancing like how they kind of off characters. Like it's like
right.
It's like it's never just like a random thing, right? Right. There's always like a reason. Like, you know, spoiler alert, like the Red Wedding,
yeah.
Right? When they kill off, you know, Kyle, you've seen Game of Thrones, right?
No, I haven't seen an episode, but I know enough to I know what you're referencing and everything.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to worry about it.
I mean, when they kill off Rob and like his mom and like basically his entire army too, like that was like a huge moment. Like everybody was shocked. Mm. At least the people who haven't read the books yet,
right?
But everybody was shocked. But then like it just felt like people felt betrayed because like. You know, Rob was being set up as like kind of the savior of the North. Like he was the king in the North. He was coming to, you know, avenge his father's death. And it was just like he just gets offed. Like it was nothing. But like right. it was done on purpose because it helps. Like I saw someone put the analogy of like George R. R. Martin's like basically pruning a tree. Like he planted this tree, and then you have like all these like branches coming out. So he's just like. Trimming off like the tree branches to make like the remaining ones grow stronger. Mm. So when he killed off Rob, like Jon Snow's, you know, story became that much more important. You know, Jon Snow instantly became that much more of a pivotal character, and like also like, you know, Sansa and Arya, like their stories became more important too. So it's like
until they get killed off,
right? Right. Well, I don't want to spoil too much, but yeah. You know, there's like a lot of things that happened, you know, ever since then. But like, yeah, it's. It's never done, like, just randomly without purpose.
No, I'll agree with that. I mean, my whole thing is, as long as it serves a purpose, but I do feel there are some deaths, maybe not that one, that do kind of just seem like they might just be for shock value.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Ned. Like, him dying. I get it. Like, that actually set up everything for, like, book two and everything.
That was the catalyst for, like, the entire series, really.
Right, and I get that and stuff. But that was, like, a big shock moment and stuff. But then when it starts happening more and more, I understand, like, what you're saying. It like, diverts it to, like, other people. But you're also... George R. R. Martin's also introducing more and more characters as it goes on. And, like, when he does that, it's kind of, like... I feel like you're losing interest on, like, pivotal characters that, like, I really did care about... And now they're dying off, and now I'm supposed to care about like these other characters. At a certain point, here's the thing.
What story are you
trying
to tell?
Well, the thing is, like, the main characters right. are like, okay, I'm going to like spoiler territory here, but like, you know, Jon Snow, Daenerys, Tyrion, like a lot of like the favorite characters, they're still around.
They are.
Like, they've introduced like a lot of new characters, like, you know, Brienne, Ser Davos, like people like that. But like, you know, it's just like focus is still on, you know, the main characters, like, Jon Snow, Daenerys, Tyrion.
But you didn't know they were the main characters until, like, season three.
Right, and that's cool. Like,
but it's weird, though, right? Like, because then you're getting invested in characters that are dying throughout seasons one and two. You don't know who the main characters are.
Yeah, and it's great, because, like, I have, like, I kind of have an idea who the main characters are, but at the same time, it's like, you know, whenever, like, they go into battle, like, there was this huge battle scene, like, this past season with Jon Snow, and, like, honestly, I did not know that I didn't know if he was going to make it or not. That's right. Like that made the battle way, way more exciting to me. I'm just like, this is like, I don't know if he's going to make it out alive. Like,
right.
I don't know what's going to happen.
And I'll agree. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, not knowing if a character is going to make it through a battle, because then it does up the tension. My only thing is, this better have like a good wrap up where it was, because the main character, right. I think, of Game of Thrones is, like, kind of the plot and, like, what's going to happen with all these people all fighting for, like, you know, the throne and fighting for the North and all this kind of stuff. Like, all fighting to gain control. That better, like, have some kind of definitive ending that actually makes sense. I feel like if they kind of just taper it out, like some shows do, or, like, some even movies do, where it's, like, doesn't have a definitive ending, I don't think it's going to work for the show.
Well, it's going to be interesting because George R. R. Martin, like, he's definitely not going to finish the books before the TV series ends, right. But he's already told the producers, like, you know, how the series is going to end, basically. So the producers have an idea of, like, where to go, how they piece it together, how they connect the dots. Like, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, the show is, like, it's been confirmed they're going to have, like, only two more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to shorten up the seasons. Instead of, like, the usual 10, they're going to go, like, 7 or 8 each episode. So it's, like... It'll be interesting to see what happens. The season six, like, a lot of things happened that just kind of advanced the plot, like, a lot, like really, really fast. So let's.
Do you think it's gonna be the same ending that George R. R. Martin envisioned? Because I heard that they did change a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah,
they
diverted from the book since like season three.
Right.
So
that's what I'm saying. It's like it might not even be. It might be like around like the same type of ending.
I think you'll have the spirit of like what George R. R. Martin wanted. Because you gotta remember, he's still an executive producer. Like he still has like a big say in how the show goes. But like, you know, it's it'll be interesting because like people are so invested in these characters in this show, like it's gonna be exciting to see like how it all wraps up because like you honestly have no idea who's gonna live and who's gonna die, and it's just like I can't wait.
I hope a comet just hits the ground and like they all die like the dinosaurs.
Yeah, but I know there's like a lot of like loose like plot ends need to be tied up, like the White Walkers with the Night King. You have Daenerys come in to fuck shit up with her dragons.
Wait, so have you watched the whole show, like, up until season six?
Yeah, I've actually caught up. I just like, binge watch it.
Nice.
It's, but yeah, you have, like, all these exciting kind of, you know, plot strands that need to be kind of tied up, and it's just, like, I'm really excited to see how they only have, like, two seasons left. They kind of all tie together, so I'm excited to see how they can do it, if they can do it, you know.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. I need to catch up on the show. I watched the first season. Still halfway through the book. I've been halfway through the third book.
The acting on that show is so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. With Loot Crate, you get collectibles, apparels, and more from your favorite pop culture franchises delivered right to your door every single month. We're talking a new t-shirt in every crate, figurines, comics, stuff for your kitchen, a wide range of exclusive items that you can't get anywhere else from fan favorite franchises like Harry Potter, Marvel Comics, Fallout 4, Star Wars, and so much more. And you can get all of this for less than $20 a month by going to lootcrate.com/shark and putting in the promo code SHARKDROPPER. So basically, you're going to save on this month's theme, which is anti-hero. So from bad guys doing good things for the wrong reason to good guys with questionable tactics. August is the I'm like completely reading copy here. Is it obvious? August is the perfect time to explore the anti-hero. Walk the hero-villain line with this 100% exclusive collection of items from DC Comics, Archer, Dark Horse, Kill Bill. It includes two great collectibles, a wearable, and of course, our monthly tee, or their monthly tee. It's not our monthly tee. We don't make the tees. We're just hawking the tees. We just want you guys to go to lootcrate.com/shark and put in the promo code SHARK, and you're going to get that tee, and hopefully it's like an Archer tee or a Kill Bill tee or something cool like that. And yeah, you're going to save a little bit of money. It's a $45 value. You get in every crate, but you're going to get it for even less than that. You're going to get it for $20, but less than that $20 by going to lootcrate.com/shark and entering the promo code SHARKDROPPER. You can get yourself some cool shit.
That's what acting is like, so important.
And is it?
It is.
It is, yeah.
It really is, because there's some like shows and some movies that like when the acting's bad, it just makes me cringe, and I just can't watch it.
That's why Tom Hardy was such a great choice for Mad Max.
Oh, Tom Hardy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, even though like the
overall,
even though the role didn't really require like a lot of lines, but like he's like he does like a lot of facial expressions that are like a really really intense. You know, it was which is why he was such a. It was a shame that he was Bane in Dark Knight Rises because he was wearing that mask
the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I never got a sense of who he was in that movie.
I mean, he can only use his eyes, and that was like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, there's only so many ways you can use your eyes.
Tom Hardy was great. Like, he was just like the perfect. Is sacrilege.
Mel Gibson didn't really talk that much, I think, in the first Mad Max.
Yeah.
Or even in any of them, I think.
I was actually about to say, I think Tom Hardy was a better.
Than Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Mel Gibson wasn't bad. He was actually great. It was just
right.
Tom Hardy kind of took it to the next level.
Poor Mel Gibson. You go on one little rant and all of a sudden, you're crazy.
You know they're making a Lethal Weapon TV show?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's okay. You have like this unknown guy, or like maybe he is now. I just don't know him. Play Mel Gibson's character, right. But you have Damon Wayans playing Danny Glover's character, and I'm just like. No, he doesn't even look that old.
Why would his age matter, John?
Yeah. It's just
can't always be too old for this shit.
There was
can't
just
always
like
be too old for it. Yeah,
I mean, I love like that dynamic of like the old grizzled veteran and like
but that's
kind of
so
like a,
old school now.
I don't know. I want to watch the show just out of respect to the movies, but
put all the Lethal Weapons in order. Favorite to least favorite.
Favorite
Lethal
to least
Weapon
favorite?
One. Yeah.
Okay, Lethal Weapon 1. Lethal Weapon 2. Lethal Weapon 3. Lethal Weapon 4.
Wow.
That was easy.
Pretty simple. They made it
Yeah. Listen, it honestly got worse as the series went on.
It really did.
What do you want from me?
Is honestly, Lethal Weapon I think more like Are they like asked to turn their guns and badges in Lethal Weapon? Is like are they do that whole dynamic?
That's like every movie.
That's any cop movie. Any cop movie, they fuck up sometime and then they have to turn in their badge and then somehow get it back.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Kowalski, $1,400 in damage. The mayor's up my ass. I'm gonna need your gun.
You're a
badge.
Loose cannon.
Loose cannon. Yeah.
Turn in your gun and badge.
Then the window breaks.
Yeah. Yeah. Find Captain, but I will find him.
Yeah.
And I will bring him to justice one way or another.
And then it's like, what? No. He walks out all pissed off, and then like his partner's like, what are we going to do, man? Oh, we're not off this case yet.
Yeah. You just keep me in the loop, okay? Yeah. And then he just walks out, and then he starts doing his own investigation.
Montage. Yeah, cut to montage.
Cutting out like newspaper articles. Yeah.
The Beverly Hills cop theme song playing. Yeah.
Doing some stakeouts.
There's going to be like a Beverly Hills cop TV show as well. Like,
Jesus Christ.
Come
man.
On. Just make
Is it
move.
Damon Wayans again?
No, it's actually, I think it was like
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Ooh.
As
no,
Hill's.
Idris Elba should be Danny Glover's character.
You know who'd be perfect? Yeah. You know who'd be perfect for to play an Axel Foley these days?
Yeah. Don't say
Michael,
a white person.
No, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, I was going to say Michael B.
From,
Jordan
from Creed.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's got that kind of charm that Eddie Murphy had that back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Although, actually, I don't know if I've seen. What was the last movie he was in? He was in Fantastic Four, right?
Fruitvale Station was a pretty good movie.
Fruitvale Station.
Has he done anything funny?
Oh,
he was in that one comedy with Zac Efron, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called.
I think he was also in Friday Night Lights, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I know he's been in a lot, but.
Yeah, he was in Friday Night Lights.
He was?
Yep. Vince Howard.
Yeah.
Michael
I don't know.
B. Jordan.
There's a lot of like TV shows now, like a lot of bringing back old movies and like making them into TV shows and stuff.
Great,
kind of
great
like,
setup.
Citizen like, Kane wanna, TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Actually,
go
do we have time?
I'm interested in this.
Okay. So there's a. There's kind of like a new miniseries on Netflix called Stranger Things. I think it's been described in like the trailer as like a love letter to the 80s supernatural like movies with like featuring kids and all that.
Like E.T.,
Goonies, maybe a little Poltergeist, you know, things like that. And like, you know, it's... You know when J.J. Abrams made Super 8 like years back?
Yeah.
That was also supposed to be like a love letter to A's, but in my opinion, he didn't really quite nail it. Stranger Things like does nail it and does it really, really well. Although, to be fair to Super 8, you know, it wasn't like a miniseries like Stranger Things is. Mm. But like, yeah, everything about Stranger Things is just, like it just hits the nail on the head. Like the kids they got, they're such great actors. Like it's, like you fully believe like these kids are just kids.
I'm gonna check it out then. I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, it's really good. Renona Ryder is just like she's fantastic in it.
She's back.
Yeah. I liked Super 8 a lot. I thought I liked the kid actors. I liked the direction of it. Maybe not so much the ending, but overall I thought it was a good movie. And I heard that this is very much like a Super 8 or like those old 80s movies, which is really cool, and I want to check it out.
I mean, it takes place in the 80s, so it's...
Yeah.
It is a little on the nose on that aspect. But
I mean,
like,
I like that setting, and, like, all the kids are wearing, like, Star Wars shirts, I'm sure, and, like, Mr. T and G.I. Joe's
and riding
everywhere.
Bikes and
yeah,
shit.
Riding
yeah,
riding bikes and, like...
Kids are talking, like, these huge kind of walkie-talkies to each other, like, at night. I'm just like, this is so cool. Like, I mean, none of us really kind of grew up in the 80s. We're like, 90s kids, but, like,
We were born in the
80s. Yeah,
we're
all
we
very
can
aware
still
of that time.
Sort of identify with that, you know.
Definitely.
But yeah, it's Stranger Things on Netflix. It's I think it was like 10 something episodes. I don't know. I'm like halfway through and I'm just loving it. Like everything. It's also like really, really creepy too. You know, but not like an in your face way, but like kind of a constant dread type of way. It's really, really well done.
So Netflix is like doing pretty well with all their shows.
They know what their audience wants. Like the audience wants like a, you know, an 80s throwback, Stranger Things. They'll give it to them. They want like another season of Full House. so they give them Fuller House. Like they got something for everybody. I mean, they want Adam Sandler movies. Adam Sandler movies.
All right, I was trying to talk up Netflix, but now you're making me like depressed.
I mean, they can they do so much content. So it's like you go and scroll through Netflix and you see all the stuff that like you've never even heard about before. It's just they're just doing.
Well, they're doing movies too, but like think of like the shows, House of Cards, Orange
Daredevil,
is the New Black, Daredevil,
Jessica Jones, Master of None, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Like that's all good stuff.
They have a lot of stuff now.
It's awesome. Like it's worth the $10 a month or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. That's pretty awesome.
Did you they announced the Emmy awards, which are just, you know, whatever, but
right.
Like the one thing that I thought was interesting was nominated for a variety and talk show was like, you know, Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, I think the Daily Show, but also Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That got nominated?
Yeah, I got nominated for an Emmy.
I haven't watched any of like the later episodes.
I didn't know they nominated like a web series. It's like a TV, unless it's on TV somewhere.
I guess I guess it's internet only, but they fought to get that change to include internet series.
That's pretty cool.
Eventually, I think the Oscars are going to start nominating like movies that come out on Netflix too. I think that'll be a thing.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but apparently Beast of No Nation was like a huge snub.
Yeah.
So.
I want to watch that. I've heard it's like so good.
Yeah. There's also like a Paul Rudd movie that they got on there. Like it looks kind of okay.
Oh, yeah,
really? I just saw that. Yeah.
What?
I forget what it's called.
Informal or something. Or like,
Advertise? They need to advertise more.
They don't.
They only really advertise to people who have Netflix.
I didn't realize Stranger Things was out already because I heard of it.
Yeah, I just saw it on the homepage when I opened
like,
up
Netflix. Yeah, I've been wanting to see this.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
So. Well, also, I think one show that Amber got me into was Harmon Quest that came out this month, which is pretty good. Yeah. It's like basically
they just started animating that, right?
Yeah, what that is. I mean, it's basically the Harmontown podcast where they do like the D&D at the end, but they just animate it and they have a guest every week, and it's pretty. Not only is it funny, but it's like just cool to watch.
That's cool. Wow. With like the right people, like a D&D like a kind of show or podcast can be really entertaining. Because like on Twitch, like there's this group called Critical Role. They live stream every Thursday night. It's basically like a bunch of professional voice actors get together to play Dungeons and Dragons, and it's like it's really well done. Like the Dungeon Master, Matt Mercer, he's been playing for years. He's also a professional voice actor. He plays like a lot of different characters, and then you have like the other players, like they really get into their characters and they really just like, you know, they act out.
Yeah.
It's a really good show. I highly recommend it. It's on Twitch, Critical Role, every Thursday night. D&D can be pretty entertaining.
I know. I want to play D&D now.
We should do a podcast.
We could. Or at least, like, I know a couple guys that can maybe DM.
Well, you know, the problem is that there's already, like, a million D&D podcasts out there.
Oh, yeah,
so it's like,
I mean, we're not
going to do something to stand out.
There's a million Shark Driver podcasts out there, John.
Sure. There is.
Like, literally this format.
Just three
that we're doing
guys sitting around talking.
Yeah.
I'm down for a D&D session if you guys are.
I would love to try it. I've never tried it before. It seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan mentioned he used to play it back in the day.
He did.
So.
Did he?
I think so. I thought he said that last time.
It might have been on a top five where he talked about it.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So.
Get some dice, roll, saving rolls, all that shit. Somebody teach us.
Yeah, maybe one day in the future you'll see a D&D podcast from us.
From the Shark Chopper crew.
If not us, maybe other people in Shark Chopper. I don't know.
It'll still be a Shark Chopper podcast.
Sure. Hey, we're just spitballing ideas here.
That'd be a lot of fun. I've always wanted to try to play it and, you know, do it on the podcast. I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel here, but still, it'd just be fun.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe while we're on it, we can reinvent the wheel.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think we need more square edges.
Roll to reinvent the wheel.
Really?
20. Yeah. Yes.
Try the triangle.
Yeah, all right. Has anyone ever tried the hectagon?
Or an oval.
There's so many shapes really to reinvent.
That would be kind of a bumpy ride, right? An oval wheel.
Yeah, it goes really high up.
You just go up and down, up and down.
It goes really high up.
Yeah. I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool.
Right.
I don't think... Think of another shape that would be just as good as the wheel.
Oh, a star.
An octagon.
Okay.
That's basically the wheel.
Yeah.
Just with more edging.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that would do better in rough terrain, right?
I think that, yeah, more, like they already have something like that out.
So
it's called a fucking robot.
Yeah, a robot.
Yeah, how about this? How about a blade so you can fly?
How about a hoverboard? Oh.
Spinning around real fast.
Didn't even think about that.
Could you, what if we learn how to fly before we learn how to like use like the wheel?
That would be cool.
What kind of world would we be living in right now?
A Jetson world. I wish everything was like the Jetsons, where we were just up in the sky for no reason.
Yeah.
Just up in these like tall buildings that were on poles.
I don't know, man. That seems pretty right now, if my truck breaks down, it's pulled to the side of the road.
I know, like, if we were like flying cars, then all of a sudden your car just started fucking malfunctioning. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, dude, that was a perfect Jetson sound.
We should make a live action Jetsons movie.
I think they will eventually.
Live action.
Anyone from Flintstones.
And Scooby Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Do a Jetsons. Get some more Hanna-Barbera.
I don't know. Hanna-Barbera is not, they're not actually, that's all Cartoon Network. I don't think, you know what happened with that?
Why?
Or I see. Oh, here's the thing. I don't know what studio made the Flintstones.
That's Hanna-Barbera, right?
Are you talking about the movie?
No. Yeah, the movie.
I think it was Universal.
Was it Universal?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, what Cartoon Network did, like a big reason why you don't see more of those is because they banked a lot on the Powerpuff Girl movie that came out in like 2004, and then it like completely bombed in theaters, and ever since then like they have not made another one of their cartoons into a movie, any one of their franchises into a movie. It, you know, aside from maybe like Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but like that was just like a thing that they pushed out. Yeah.
Well, Universal, because they used to have that ride at Universal Studios, which was Hanna-Barbera. So they were probably the ones that put out a lot of those, like the Flintstones. And I don't know if they were behind Scooby-Doo, but I mean,
they might have sold the rights or something.
Yeah. They might have now, because that was an older ride. Like back when I was a kid, like I would go on the Universal Studios and ride Hanna-Barbera. Now it was like converted to Jimmy Neutron, and then after Jimmy Neutron it was, now I think it's Despicable Me, but there's something else in between.
Yeah, it's Despicable Me. Oh yeah. No, it was Jimmy Neutron and then Despicable Me. That's
there's something I think before Jimmy Neutron, but I don't remember.
Really?
Maybe not. I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's all the same ride. It's like the same exact motions.
Yeah. And it's like the same, they just changed some of the parts, kind of like how Back to the Future was.
Yeah.
Okay, it was Universal, and it was Universal and Amblin.
Okay.
So. I don't know. Spielberg.
Yeah. Yep. Spielberg.
You bastard. With Halle Berry. When I first got introduced.
Man, I totally forgot Rosie O'Donnell was in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Who is it? John Goodman?
John Goodman, Rosie
John Goodman,
O'Donnell.
Rick Moranis.
Not Alec Baldwin, but the Stephen Baldwin.
Who was Wilma?
Wilma was Elizabeth Perkins' sister.
I don't know.
Halle Berry was in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what you said, yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Stephen Baldwin was in the second one. What am I fucking...
Yeah, wow. Stephen Baldwin was Barney in the second one.
This is a great bit of trivia, in case... Just remember, it might save your ass on one trivia night.
Of course.
But this movie was also the final theatrical film appearance for Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, really?
Oh, she was in that, wasn't she?
It's her final film appearance.
Man, she really went out with a bang.
It's kind of like Raul Julia in Street Fighter.
The Flintstones, darling.
Elizabeth Taylor. Don't. In such classics as Giant, Place in the Sun, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Cleopatra, and then
Flintstones. Don't judge a book by its cover, but also don't judge it by its back.
don't.
Just read the stuff in between.
Or don't read it.
Yeah, just, you know what, don't watch it.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay, guys, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. sharkdropper.com. All of our podcasts are there for you to enjoy. Don't forget to go to lootcrate.com/shark and the promo code sharkdropper to save yourself 10% off your first Loot Crate subscription. This month's theme is I don't know, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, sweet. I don't know. That
could be anything.
Could be anything, yeah. It's the mystery theme, unless Wall.
Ooh, maybe there's like Memento, like the movie.
Tattoos, just like wash on tattoos.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
A memento box.
Yeah. It should be a 7 box. It's just Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Oh, man.
Either way, you're
you open up
murdered.
The loot crate, you see like her head.
What's it up? Like,
oh,
I'd
man,
be fucked
this
up.
Is...
That's a pretty cool box, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the craft.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
You don't want to know, man.
What's in my loot crate box?
You don't want to know.
No. Okay. All right. That was Shark Dropper. I'm Kyle.
I'm Robert.
I'm John.
See you next week.
As I stand here looking out over the ocean, I didn't want to cause a great big commotion. 'Cause when I saw what looked like a fin break through the surface again.